Welcome to Specialty Shop Retailing, the podcast for shopkeepers and other small business owners. Your host is Carol Schroeder, co-owner of Orange Tree Imports in Madison, Wisconsin, and author of the book Specialty Shop Retailing, How to Run Your Own Store. Carol welcomes your suggestions for topics for future podcasts, so please email her at info@orangetreeimports.com. As always, today's program will end with a special feature from the Orange Tree Imports Nonsense Files, an archive of the most unusual and unlikely products of the past 30 years, so stay tuned. And now, here is your host, Carol Schroeder.
Hello, and welcome to the 7th edition of Specialty Shop Retailing. Today we will be talking about finding the perfect place for your store. There's an old retailing joke that the three most important factors in determining a store's success are location, location, and location. Choosing a location is indeed one of the most important factors in determining a store's success, although it's not as important if you're a destination shop or are well established with a loyal customer base. And of course, if you supplement your retail business with internet sales, location is not a very important factor to your web-based customers. You may think that a store chooses a location only once when they are first starting out, but sometimes a change in location becomes necessary due to remodeling or lease problems, or is needed for a business's survival or for growth. It's a good idea to ask yourself periodically whether your current location is the best fit for your business as it matures. In the second podcast of Specialty Shop Retailing, we talked about the importance of doing market surveys. One of the key questions that a survey can help you with is the issue of whether the area you are considering can support your type of shop. In general, the smaller the potential number of customers, the broader your scope needs to be. It just wouldn't work to put a dead flower florist, which is an actual practical joke retail concept, in a rural village. It's not accidental that the general store, with its broad range of products, was usually the first business to thrive in small towns. Testing your retail concept with potential customers can be very helpful, as can talking to other shopkeepers in the area you are considering. Find out what their customer mix is like and how much walk-by and drive-by traffic you can expect. Look at whether there is too much competition, either from an existing independent or from a big-box store. Not that you should avoid all competition. After all, customers throng to areas with lots of galleries or lots of antique shops, knowing they can browse through them all in one visit. Go to the internet, library, or chamber of commerce to learn more about the demographics of the different areas you are considering. If you're selling leather furniture, for example, you will want to market with a higher average income than for a pet food store. Once you've decided on the city, town, or neighborhood where you'd like to locate your business, you need to decide whether to go into an enclosed mall or be on a shopping street or in a strip mall. Big enclosed shopping centers were once the hotbed of American retailing, but they're declining in popularity except for clothing stores and franchise operations and chains. Strip malls and neighborhood locations are on the rise, and these locations are often more appropriate for a locally owned business. Finding the perfect location when you're ready to get started can be difficult. The types of stores available at any one time will be limited, and you'll need to balance the rental costs and remodeling expenses with how popular the location appears to be. In general, the more popular the location, the higher the rent. National chains are beginning to dominate thriving retail areas, even in the center of picturesque small New England towns such as Greenwich, Connecticut, because they can afford the high rents that come with success. It's a tough call, though, to know whether you get what you pay for in a high-rent area. Of course, the extra traffic generated will mean more potential customers for you. There will also be more competition for the dollars that the customer has to spend, and possibly also parking and traffic problems. Your best input into this decision may well come from other independent retailers in the area. One way to avoid high rents is, of course, to buy a building. Real estate can be a good investment if you're fairly certain that you'll be staying, especially, for example, if it's not your first retailing venture. Keep in mind the money needed for repairs and real estate taxes, and also the resale value if you end up selling the building to someone for a purpose other than what you plan to use it for. Most retailers end up leasing at least their first location. If you'd like information about how to read and negotiate your shop's lease, take a look at Negotiating a Lease in Chapter 1 of my book, Specialty Shop Retailing. There you'll learn about net-net-net leases and other common and rather confusing terms used in retail leases. Don't forget to have your lawyer review all the terms of your lease, especially because a lease for a retail location can be for many years, and you will have to live with the consequences of signing on the dotted line for the entire term of the lease. Keep in mind that commercial leases are usually subject to negotiation, and you can always ask for concessions from the landlord, such as a lower rate, a few months of free rent, or a setup allowance if you feel that these requests can be justified. And today's reading from the Nonsense Files, which are the silly and strange items offered to the gift industry over the past 30 years, is the reusable clear plastic cake shield, which solves a problem most of us probably didn't know we had. The caption reads, "Phew, I blew them all out and didn't get a bit of wax on the icing. Reusable clear plastic cake shields in round and rectangular shapes prevent the inevitable spray of germs and saliva from overzealous birthday boys and girls onto the birthday cake. Each cake shield has built-in candle holders and a suggested retail of $4.99. And these came from Earthmar Enterprises in Boca Raton, Florida. Apparently they didn't catch on in the way that the designers had hoped, and we've been at danger ever since from the blowing out of birthday candles. That's it for Specialty Shop Retailing for today. Feel free to email me at info@orangetreeimports.com with ideas for future podcasts. And until then, happy retailing.